I'm sure, she said. Well, the first thing we have to do is get this wound cleaned and bandaged. Perhaps we should send for a doctor.
Carnivan was drifting in and out of consciousness. At the sound of Mildred's words, he stirred again and lifted his head.
No, he gasped out. No, doctor.
Mildred leaned toward him.
But Mr. Carnivan, you're badly hurt.
Carnivan pressed the palms of both hands against the table and pushed himself up so that he could look wildly around the kitchen.
No, wouldn't be safe.
Lucille touched his shoulder again.
You're safe here, Mr. Carnivan.
She hoped that was true. She felt better as she heard a thumping sound from the stairs. That would be Alan Carter making his way down. He came into the kitchen with a worried look on his broad face. Fred trailed behind him. Carter stopped, balancing himself on his good leg.
What's happened here?
Lucille was getting tired of having to make the same explanation, but she outlined the situation for Alan anyway.
One of Mr. Carnivan's partners tried to murder him. The other two may be still after him.
Carter glanced at the back door and saw that the bolt was thrown.
The front door? He asked.
He had been a sergeant in the Confederate Army before losing his leg at Manassas. It was difficult to rattle his brisk efficiency.
I haven't locked it, Lucille said.
I'll take care of that while you and Mrs. Thompson tend to that wound.
Carter swung around toward the hallway. Over his shoulder, he asked,
Should I send Fred for the doctor?
Carnivan had just subsided from his earlier protests. As he lifted his head again, Lucille said quickly,
That won't be necessary. We can take care of this, can't we, Aunt Mildred? I expect so.
Lucille had no idea why Carnivan was so adamant about not summoning a doctor, but in his condition, Lucille thought it best not to upset him any more than necessary.
We can always send for the doctor and the sheriff later.
That innocent comment was enough to send Carnivan lurching to his feet. His face was as pale as milk, and his bloody shirt hung around him in tatters.
No, not the sheriff.
Alan Carter frowned in suspicion.
I don't want the law, huh? Why not?
Carnivan looked like he was about to pass out. Lucille wanted to reach out and take his arm to steady him, but the Englishman turned away from her to face Carter. He was holding himself together with a visible effort. Whatever he had to say must have been important, Lucille thought, in order to make him drive himself so hard.
No law, Carnivan grated out. Divas and the other two, they made it look like I killed Pablo. Who the devil is Pablo?
Carter asked, then glanced at Lucille and Mildred.
I'm begging your pardon for the language, ladies. One of our drivers, Carnivan said. They murdered him, then tried to kill me. Tried to make it look like we did for each other.
With a gasp, Carnivan slumped back down into the chair, unable to stay on his feet any longer.
Well, if you're innocent, you don't have anything to worry about,
Carter began. Lucille stopped him by putting a hand on his arm.
The law doesn't always believe the ones who are innocent, Alan. You know that. Let's just deal with the wound and let Mr. Carnivan rest. We can figure out the rest of it later.
Carter looked like he wanted to argue with her, but after a moment he shrugged instead.
Well, I suppose law can wait until morning. The shape Carnivan is in, he won't be going anywhere anytime soon.
There's just one more problem.
What's that?
Lucille's hand tightened on Carter's arm. She drew him over to the side of the kitchen and said in a half-whisper,
Devers is in the rear yard.
What?
Lucille grimaced and leaned closer to him, all too aware that Mildred and Fred were watching them curiously.
He's dead, she said in a whisper. I killed him.
Her fingers dug even harder into Carter's arm, urging him to silence. He stared at her for a long moment, as if he didn't believe what he had just heard. After a few moments, he nodded.
Go ahead, he said.
It was an accident. I didn't mean to do it. He ran into me while I was holding Mr. Carnivan's knife.
Carter was getting control of his surprise. He asked,
Where's the knife now?
Lucille tried not to gulp.
Still in Divas.
Carter nodded.
All right, then. There's work to be done. You and Mrs. Thompson take care of Carnivan and get him upstairs. Put him in my bed. Fred and I'll take care of the other.
What are you going to do?
Carter scrubbed a hand over his face.
Well, I'm not sure yet. I'll have to think on it.
When it came to the matter of disposing of bodies, better him than her, Lucille thought. She went back to the table while Carter called Fred to his side, unbolted the door, and limped out into the rear yard with his son just behind him. Clearly, Mildred was very curious about what Lucille had said to Carter, but she didn't ask any questions. Together, the two women began the work of cleaning the wound.
"A doctor might take stitches to close this up,"
Mildred said as she looked at the long, deep gash.
"I think it'll heal without that, though, as long as we keep it clean and bind it tightly. I have bandages in my carpet bag that I cut from an old petticoat of mine. Can you run up and get them, Lucille?"
"Of course."
She hurried upstairs to the room they shared, found the bandages, and brought them down. In the meantime, Carnivan passed out again. Mildred swabbed the cut with a cloth soaked in whiskey. The fiery pain made Carnivan wince, even though he was unconscious. When Mildred was satisfied the wound was clean, she pressed the edges of the cut together, while Lucille wrapped bandages around Carnivan's torso and pulled them tight. He didn't wake up during the procedure, even when Lucille gave the bandages an extra tug and tied them.
"All right," Mildred said. "Let's get him upstairs."
She got on one side of Carnivan, and Lucille stood on the other. They grasped his arms and lifted him from the chair. He seemed even heavier now than he had earlier, Lucille thought. He roused slightly from his stupor as they wrestled him toward the stairs, coming awake enough to move his feet and legs. That helped. But getting him up the stairs was still difficult enough, so that both women were drenched with sweat by the time they reached the upper landing. Praying that none of the inn's other occupants would come out of their rooms, Lucille helped her aunt steer Carnivan down the hall to the room shared by Alan and Fred Carter. The door stood open a few inches. Lucille used her foot to push it back even more. She felt a surge of relief when they went inside the room, and she had kicked the door closed behind them. No blood was showing through the bandages. Lucille hoped the crimson flow from the wound had stopped. She and Mildred carefully lowered Carnivan onto the bed, placing him on his uninjured side. A long sigh came from him.
"I'll go back downstairs and gather up what's left of his shirt," Lucille said.
"It wouldn't do to leave those bloody rags lying around."
Mildred nodded. "I'll keep an eye on the poor man. I don't think he's going anywhere, though."
Lucille hurried out of the room and back down to the kitchen. As she picked up the bloody, tattered shirt, the rear door opened. She took an involuntary step back, her eyes widening in fear. Then she relaxed as she saw Carter and Fred. Carter had the bowie knife in his hand. Its blade was sticky with drying blood. He reached out and took the rags out of Lucille's hand.
"Well, give me those," he said. "I'll clean this knife, then get rid of them."
He started industriously wiping away the blood from the blade. Lucille felt a wave of sickness go through her. That was Deaver's blood on the knife, she knew, and it was there because she had thrust the knife into the man's chest. She closed her eyes for a second. She was stronger than this, she told herself. She had once shot an evil man in what some would consider cold blood, and she had felt very little guilt over it afterward. Well, Deaver's had been an evil man, too. His attempt to murder Finn Carnivan was proof of that, and he had been just as responsible for his own death as Lucille had. Her back stiffened, and her eyes opened. She was not going to lose control of her emotions over this.
"What did you do with the body?" she asked Carter.
"It's in the stable, under the biggest pile of straw we could heap on it," he said. "Well, that's only a temporary solution, though. In a day or two, the smell will attract attention."
But what else can you do?
Nothing. That's why we're leaving Marshall.
Lucille stared at him.
Leaving?
Carter nodded.
Yeah, tonight. Fred and I brought the wagon back. We'll load up and be a long way from here by morning.
I don't understand.
We're going out west,
Fred said with a bright smile.
You wanted to go on to the Brazos River country sooner than later,
Carter said.
This is as good a time as any, I reckon. Carnivan's in danger from those other partners of his as long as he's round here, and
You and him both might wind up in trouble with the law.
Lucille shook her head. I don't understand, she said again.
You heard him say that Divas and the others wanted to make it look like he and that Mex killed each other. Well, since that didn't work and Conovan got away from him, the other two, what were their names again?
Stokes and Hardy, Lucille replied, dully.
They will try harder than ever now to get the law after Conovan. They'll probably be in the sheriff's office first thing in the morning, telling him how Conovan murdered the Mex and tried to kill them too. When Divas turns up dead, Conovan will get the blame.
But I killed him.
If that comes out, then Stokes and Hardy will just say you were in on the whole thing with Conovan and knew he was going to double-cross him and try to kill him.
That's a ridiculous story. No one would ever believe that, Alan.
Stokes and Hardy have been working with the Confederate government, bringing in supplies from those British ports in the Caribbean, Carter pointed out. They're crooks and killers, but they're important men, Lucille. It'll be their word against Conovan's. The only others who really know what happened, Divas and that fella Pablo, are dead.
Lucille frowned and thought. What Carter was saying made some sense. Things could happen that way. She wasn't convinced they would, but she couldn't swear that he was wrong.
So we just run away? She said.
Then we'll be fugitives.
Carter shrugged. From what I've heard, there's not much law out there on the frontier. The Texas Rangers are more concerned with engine raids than anything else. Anyway, we'll get as far from here as we can before Diva's body is found. Even when he starts to stink, the old man who runs the stable will probably think it's just a dead rat or something. That's happened before. There won't be anything to connect Diva's death with the inn. If the law does come after Conovan, they'll be looking for him alone. They won't suspect he's traveling with us.
Lucille closed her eyes and pressed clenched fists to her temples. It was true that she wanted to go farther west, but she had thought that would happen after the war was over, when Corey and Uncle Charles came to find them. But if they weren't in Marshall, Corey would know to look along the Brazos River. They had talked enough about it that he would be sure that was where she had gone. She felt relatively certain about that. And if Carnovan was gone, Stokes and Hardy wouldn't be able to prove there was any connection between him and Deaver's death. They could tell whatever story they wanted, but would the law believe them? When he came right down to it, Lucille thought, there was no single best answer, no one course of action that was guaranteed to result in the right outcome. All they could do was head west and hope for the best, like so many other people had done over the years. There was one other area of concern, though.
What about Conovan's wound? She said. He's lost a lot of blood, and he's weak. I'm not sure he's up to a long ride in the back of a wagon.
We'll make him as comfortable as we can, Carter said. And I reckon it'll be better than staying here and maybe facing a rope.
Lucille couldn't argue with that.
I guess we're going then. Now I'll tell Aunt Mildred and we'll start gathering our things.
Carter reached out as if he were going to pat her on the shoulder in encouragement, then stopped. He was a reticent man by nature, not one to demonstrate his emotions. But Fred certainly didn't suffer from that condition. He stepped up to Lucille and gave her a hug.
You'll see. It'll be all right, he told her with a grin. We're going west. It'll be fun.
Lucille nodded and wiped away a brief tear. She didn't care whether or not the trip was fun. She just hoped they all survived it, and survived on the frontier until Corey got there. Then things would be all right, but only then.